This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. This Sunday marks the 20th anniversary of the fall of Saigon and the end of the war in Vietnam. Although the war is long over, it's still being debated today. Just look at the heated reactions to Robert McNamara's new memoir. On this archive edition of Fresh Air, we look back on the war with a general who fought it and writers who covered it. We begin with two survivors of the first major land battle the Americans fought in Vietnam. It was also the bloodiest. Both sides claimed victory. Both sides suffered tremendous losses. My guests are Lieutenant General Harold Moore, who led the campaign, and Joseph Galloway, who was a 23-year-old reporter at the time, covering the battle for UPI. General Moore led 450 men of the 1st Battalion, 7th Cavalry, into the Ia Drang Valley. They never expected to be surrounded by 2,000 North Vietnamese soldiers. Reinforcements came from both sides. The battle ended with 230 Americans dead, 240 wounded, and 3,000 North Vietnamese dead. This is an excerpt of a 1992 interview recorded after the publication of Moore and Galloway's book about Ia Drang called We Were Soldiers Once and Young. We'll hear first from General Moore.
General, when bombs are falling and there's artillery fire all around and you're under attack, This is the question of somebody who's never served or been in battle. But how do you think clearly? I mean, this is the time when you are most required to think clearly, but when it must be most difficult to do so.
I really have never had any problem thinking clearly in a tough, time-critical situation. I think I kind of go into a sort of a C-zone. And blank out all the horrible brutality which is going on around me, being aware of it nevertheless, but realizing that I was a commander, I am a commander, and I am responsible for preserving as many American lives as I can and killing as many enemies as I can. Now, in the smoke and the dust, which limits visibility, and the terrible heat, that compounds the situation. The men screaming and yelling, giving orders in three languages, English, Spanish, Vietnamese. Wounded men screaming for medics and for their mother about to die. I've never found it difficult to keep my head in situations like that. I'm a paratrooper. I've had a couple of malfunctions. Once I was 8 seconds from hitting the ground, but I knew I'd make it in on my reserve if I could get it open. So I've never really been concerned when I've been in a tough situation. Just do the job.
I guess you can't allow yourself to get too emotional about your men dying in the middle of a fight.
No, you cannot. And furthermore, you cannot impart by your very manner and your voice on the radio any possible sign or word or tone of voice that would indicate to any listener or any of your men looking at you that you were rattled. You had to look cool and be cool, and something you can't put on.
What about when the battle's over and you don't have to be cool and you don't have to be unemotional? Does it get you in a different way then?
Yep. That's when it's always hit me. In this battle, I looked around on the ground and saw many of my precious men in their ponchos lying dead, men whom I have trained for 18 months, knew their wives, children, many of them, knew them very closely, and I knew a terrible truth that 24 hours later would shatter the hearts of their families back home in America. And that got to me. Darn right it did. And I never a day goes by in the 27 years since that battle that I don't refight it in my mind and think about those great Americans who never backed off, many of them who had only 7 to 10 days left in the service. And they went home in coffins, and I'm forever grateful, for their service, and I grieve for them forever. And for years, I felt guilty that I was not killed. I guess that's a normal reaction from a commander who loves his men.
You don't feel that way anymore?
I've kind of gotten over it a little bit. A few years back, several of my troopers told me at one of these reunions, they said, Colonel, and they still call me Colonel, which is fine. Colonel, you guys stop feeling that way, because if you died in that place, none of us would have got out of there. Well, I don't know if that's true or false, but that made me feel better.
Now, this battle lasted 4 days and four nights. Did you get any sleep at all, either of you, during the length of the battle?
I didn't get any sleep. Along about the early morning of the third day, my mind was still functioning clearly and cleanly and quickly. Do that on adrenaline or just on training and stamina. But the curious thing that happened was that I had to think every word before I would say it into the radio or to people around me. It was like translating English into English, if you can understand what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Joe, did you get any sleep, and were you functioning well?
Well, I was functioning. Sleep sort of leaves your mind. When I'd gone out to that tea plantation, I'd been on the perimeter with one of Colonel Moore's, his Bravo company. And that was foxholes and alarms all night and 100% alert, so I got no sleep that night, and I got no sleep the next night. And I think it was on the last night we were in there, somewhere about 2 o'clock in the morning, it kind of caught up with me, and I remember leaning back against a tree, and the last thing I remember for about an hour and a half until the shooting started again was I remember that same fellow who booted me up onto my feet in the middle of the firestorm. I remember him kneeling down, the sergeant major, and putting a poncho liner over me and tucking me in like I was his son or his grandchild. And I thought, what a tender gesture from such a tough man. And I did. I just conked out. I slept for a couple of hours. I was awakened by the renewed fighting and came up out of the poncho liner and went back to work. Some of that work, I would say, you're not so much a news person in those circumstances as you are of another set of hands.
Mm-hmm.
You can be of use. You can carry the wounded. You can bring water. You can carry ammunition.
Carry the wounded?
I did. The one memory that will never leave my mind is what they call a friendly fire incident that occurred on the second day. And we were around the command post, and someone said, "My God, look." And I looked up, and there were two canisters of napalm that had just been released by a U.S. Air Force F-100 jet, and they were coming directly at us. And there was his wingman was behind him and alongside, and if the first set of napalm cans didn't get us, the second were surely going to, and I can remember Colonel Moore screaming, "Get him to pull up, pull up, pull up," and the Charlie Hastings, the Air Force forward controller on the radio, screaming at that pilot. The damage was done with the first two, but we could maybe stop the second plane from dropping his, and Charlie managed to do that. But the other two, just like slow motion, coming down at us. The officer next to me, he knew something I didn't know, that if you are caught in napalm, the one thing you need to do is protect your eyes. And he turned and he put his face into my shoulder and protected his eyes while I just watched them come. And they went just directly over our heads. And they struck in the middle of a couple of small foxholes where our engineer detachment were dug in the grass. And the napalm engulfed them, and we could see them dancing in the fire. And as soon as that that napalm died down and we could run out into that smoldering grass, we did. And a man loomed up in the smoke and he said, "Get this man by his feet." And I reached and I caught his ankles, and when I did, the nylon of the combat boots crumbled in my hands and the flesh came off and I could feel the bones of his ankles in the palms of my hands. And you never ever forget something like that. Those men lay for an hour or so in our little makeshift aid station right beside us, screaming in pain in spite of all the morphine in the world. This affects you. You're no longer you can't be a detached observer in those circumstances. These are people who are giving their lives to save yours.
Joseph Galloway and Lieutenant General Harold Moore co-wrote the book We Were Soldiers Once and Young. This is Fresh Air.